You are listening to EP Culture Beat, the underground source of El Paso, Texas.
Way to start this. You're a local NFT artist, the most futuristic type of artist at the moment, like on the vanguard, really. How does that feel?
How
does it feel to be an NFT artist? Because there's so much buzz around it, you know?
I feel like it's a little bit of a pretentious kind of title, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't understand the way NFTs work. They're in that camp that's like, why can't I just right click and save a JPEG? Why are you paying for that? Why?
That comes up a lot.
It does. And it's like a really juicy meme right now that you find on social media. A lot of people are like right clicking people's artwork and being like, yeah, so what are you talking
about? I got your $700 piece of artwork, man. Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah. And that's interesting, man. But I don't know. I don't have very many people to discuss the topic with.
Before we go on, we're speaking with?
My name's Chris Bone, and I am Disintegrator Films on social media and also in my NFT artwork.
Awesome. So, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier, and you're kind of saying it right now that you're pretty much one of two people that you know that actively does NFT artwork in El Paso. So how does it feel to be like, on something like really new that like you're still kind of like alone in the room?
I definitely feel like I'm sort of the blind trying to make my way because I have no idea what I'm doing really. You know, all I know is that I've been creating animations for years and years and years, and then just putting them out into the ether on my social media channels to very little applause or acclaim. And then suddenly those, you know, self-same skills all of a sudden are worth money. And so it's a very miraculous sort of feeling. It's kind of mind-blowing, actually.
What's new right now with your NFT work?
Right now I'm looking to get curated on a site called crypto.com/NFT. And the difference between curated and non-curated, in case anybody wonders, is just basically the support of the platform. So. Mm-hmm. You know, you apply to be an artist and then they either approve or deny. But on the curated side, they offer a lot more support and you have a lot more leeway with what you sell and stuff like that.
So you're trying to be more legit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are some lofty goals that you can chase after. So there's really, really hot ones in the space right now at crypto.com. Mm-hmm. One of them's called Loaded Lions and another one's called Psycho Kitties, which is made by an artist named Uganzo, who rose to sort of acclaim because Joe Rogan bought one of his pieces.
Okay. So for how much?
Undisclosed as far as I know.
A pretty penny.
Yeah. So then next thing you know, Uganzo is doing a 10,000 piece NFT drop where each NFT sells for $150 and you don't get to see it before you buy it. You get to buy a pack.
Kind of like a blind pack.
Yeah. So just like a collectible card games type thing. And then as soon as they're all minted and the set is sold out with Psycho Kitties, they release like a Google Doc that has the rarity of each one. So some of them immediately are worth like $1 million.
Wow.
It's kind of insane. Yeah.
It is like wild to wrap your head around because it is so new. It's very electronic. It's stuff that you have to, you know, you can't just jump in. You got to sign up for things, right? Which we'll get into in a bit.
Okay.
But before we go on, can you explain in simple terms what an NFT is?
So I've been thinking about that all day today. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to explain it. And so we're all familiar with collectible cards and collectible card games, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering type stuff. And Matchbox cars. This is essentially the same thing, except it's digital. And
it's non-fungible token.
Correct. Yeah, non-fungible token, NFT. When an NFT is minted on a particular blockchain, in my case, it's on the crypto.org blockchain, that piece of artwork begins a long digital history. So the date it was created, by whom it was created, and every single transaction that's ever occurred with that particular token related to a piece of art, mm-hmm. Remains on that blockchain indefinitely.
So, it's provenance, right? Provenance, yeah, is that what they right. call it?
So essentially, what you're buying is a certificate of authenticity, a digital certificate of authenticity, that is related to a piece of digital art that exists on the internet, you know?
How did you hear about NFTs?
Friend of mine actually turned me onto the whole thing. And so I got into it because of Ugonzo's Psycho Kitty drop. And that was my first foray. I went ahead and I was one of those people that waited in line, man, on the internet to get one of those Psycho Kitties.
How much was that Psycho Kitty?
It was $150. And
not bad.
And then, yeah, but so I made a mistake and I flipped it on Christmas Day and quadrupled the $150 investment because it was, you know, it's a hot thing, right?
That's real fast, too.
Yeah.
That's a real fast
turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are very valuable things. So, anyway, long story short, a lot of NFT artists are adding additional features to their NFTs. Ugonzo in particular. They have a list of all the wallets, the digital devices that can, that hold the tokens for their Psycho Kitties.
Mm-hmm.
And each one that is holding a Psycho Kitty is being airdropped or gifted a partner for their Psycho Kitty. So as soon as I found that out, I was like, man, I need to go get another Psycho Kitty.
Yeah.
So here I go. At fair market value at the time, I picked one up for $3.99. So now I'm back in the Psycho Kitty game because they're multiplying. And it's just a crazy frontier where so many cool things are happening, so many possibilities.
So it's what you're saying is a buy one, get one?
Essentially, yeah. So and it's going to happen into the future. I know. It's mind-blowing, right?
Yeah.
So the Psycho Kitties are all male, and he's creating female companions to go with them. And then even bigger shocker is that when a male and a female are in your wallet, he said, funny things can start to happen. So thinking if is it possible they can tell you have the male and the female in your wallet and then it's going to spawn children in your wallet and you're going to get airdropped little kids, you know?
Triggers
what I
mean? A little program.
So this is the start of, in my opinion, a true blue chip NFT project. And so that's going to be something that is a very safe investment.
Yeah.
At least for the short term. The next 6 months, I can't see the floor dropping out on those.
So some weird self-spawning media.
Yeah, right? Isn't that crazy? Wow, what a crazy time we live in.
It is insane. It's insane. And it seems because I did some research on my phone about NFTs just for recent news or whatever. And it seems like the deeper you go into the news pages of NFT, it's all why
it's really really crazy, man.
So what made you want to start making them? Why did you jump on the NFT train?
I've been a digital artist in one form or another for the last 16 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I started with After Effects by making lightsaber videos of my kids and stuff.
Cool.
I was a truck driver, so I would take video of them, go out on the road, and by the time I came back, I'd have animated the lightsabers, and we do Star Wars stuff. So I just have a long history of digital media manipulation.
And you could add simple animations, and I guess for you, it's that's super easy, right? To add a simple animation.
Yeah, so I'm sort of I've been in at the ground floor.
It's you're training for it this whole time,
you know. And that's what I tell my wife. You know, I'm like, man, I feel like I've been training for this my whole life. You know, now is my time to shine. Yeah. Anyway, but I'm just being ridiculous. But yeah, the funny thing is again is just that it's actually worth money now. People are willing to pay for the first edition of a brand new animation that I create, and it's kind of crazy.
So when did you put up your first set?
I think December 18th. So I'm about 30 days in, and I'm rocking and rolling. So I've got 250 pieces, I want to say, on crypto.com.
Nice.
And some of those are one-offs, which in the space they call them PFPs or profile pictures. And each one of those is unique. So the idea there is that on Twitter, which is where the crazy NFT folks live and breathe, they use them as their profile pictures to identify each other on Twitter.
I think I've seen them pop up on Instagram too.
Yeah, they do pop up on Instagram
too. Digital, pixelized.
Yeah, so like the CryptoPunks and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
So what do artists need to do to get themselves in that marketplace or marketplaces? Because there's many, right? There's more than a few.
There are, yeah.
From what I understand, it's possible for any artist to do it.
100%, 100%. I know that there are a couple of local El Paso artists that are traditional artists, meaning that they're oil and canvas kind of artists that I am encouraging actively to figure out a way to get into the space, whether that means getting a, you know, somebody with a DSLR camera to take very good pictures of their paintings, you know, whatever that means, or to create new stuff on a digital media. But right now is the time to get in on the ground floor and introduce yourself to these people, because it's on fire, the space right now.
So what does an artist need to do first?
So they need to come up with digital assets first. So before you apply, but you know, just in this one situation, I would say my advice is with crypto.com, the one that I've used and the success that I found, follow these steps. So number one, you got to have some kind of social media that displays your art in some form or fashion. Doesn't need to have a whole lot of followers. It just needs to have basically the baseline for what your art is. And then step two is to fill out an application on the platform that you are looking to drop on.
What's the easiest platform?
In my opinion, it's crypto.com.
Okay.
Now you will find some stuff in their uncurated areas that are low hanging fruit, but don't let that discourage you, because in my opinion, you know, if your art is good, it'll be compared immediately to all that stuff, and your stuff will sell just that much better.
Mm.
Because quality art stands out when compared to, you know, the noise that's out there in the space right now. Because, you know, being as popular as it is, a lot of people ask me, they say, so you can just, I could just take a photo of my dog and put it on there? And I'm like, you know, that, yeah, you can.
Essentially.
You can. The question is, does anybody want that picture of your dog,
man? Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe. But I mean, yeah, I encourage you to try, because dude, if that's how you express yourself creatively, then that's how you do it, bro. And who am I to say that that's not a valid form of expression?
It's been said that there's an audience for anything and everything.
Everything.
I mean, we live in an age where there's a site where like you could buy feet pics or whatever, right? You know, so
you're gonna have to show me that after the
podcast. So you apply for the site, right? How long is that wait?
For me, it was like 3 days.
Okay.
So not very long. And the next step I would definitely recommend is to start a Twitter account. So if you're not on Twitter already, get on Twitter. Twitter has just sort of reinstituted what they call Twitter Spaces. Basically, those are chat rooms. And so what you'll do is, according to which platform or however you're selling your NFTs, you want to hook up with a Twitter space that is centered around whatever platform you're using. In my case, it's the CrowFam, crypto.com stuff on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, it's really cool because you can raise your hand and they actually, you know, give you the floor in front of like 150 people at a time, where you can pitch your artwork and you can show your artwork to other NFT enthusiasts. And that, I gotta admit, has been really, really cool.
So you gotta throw yourself into the community.
Absolutely.
You know? So you gotta have Instagram, you gotta have Twitter. Once you've applied and you're in, what program do you use to create NFTs? Or like you said, is it as easy as just like taking a picture of something and then, you know, formatting it to whatever? So like, what do you use?
So I use Adobe After Effects, cause I'm like a lifelong, user, and, and you know, I've been doing that for so long. I have a YouTube channel with tutorials and the whole nine yards. I love teaching people how to use After Effects, but in my case, I've been playing with these robots for a long time doing, crazy stuff. Like I'll take video and then just sort of like, motion track them into the video so that they look like they're in the real world with me. I have them stealing cookies on my counter and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's how I express myself, man. And the reality is that it's a new frontier. And so mm-hmm. however you come up with the art that you use to express yourself, it's definitely a valid thing. Like you said, there's people out there that will buy just about anything. Mm-hmm. But some tips though that I heard from some of those Twitter spaces is when you create like an Instagram or some kind of a platform where you're featuring your artwork, keep it your artwork. Do not mix your family stuff in with your artwork stuff, because someone who is looking to approve you as an artist for a platform, they're not interested in the home life stuff. They want to see
what products you producing.
Yeah, what are you bringing to the table as a creator? You know.
So we've already discussed that NFTs are released as sets or series. You know, that's typical. But you said that there's also single image releases, which are called what again?
PFPs, short PFPs. For profile pictures.
And so, in what format do they come? Is it like, are they all JPEGs, or is it like different? So kinds of formats, or
generally like the PFP projects, those are going to be JPEG or mm-hmm. PNGs, but the other collections, the other ones that I have, say like the Crobots that I do, those are mostly GIFs. And so what that means is, as a creator,
the GIFs, you can add some animation.
Correct. Yeah. So it's a moving picture, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes a certain kind of recipe to get a high quality GIF. You can't just use Giphy because you'll lose all the quality. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like
there's gotta be a secret sauce.
There is a little secret sauce, you know, to keep the shine.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause what do you call it? That's a generational loss or something like that.
Yeah. Well, with every copy, right? You're going to lose pixels, or lose quality, you know, every time you make a copy.
So that's why you need that secret sauce.
That's right. That's right.
So we slowly putting it all together.
Well,
right?
You know, I can teach you the secret sauce if you subscribe to my YouTube channel and watch those tutorials.
How do they get priced? Because some go for hundreds, even thousands.
That's a really good question. So it really does depend on the audience. A lot of the larger creators, the ones that can justify the higher prices, they do so because they spend disproportionate amount of their energy and time building up the hype for their project before release. And like I said, a lot of them have utilities. And since Uganzo is doing the stuff with the Psycho Kitties, you know, it's become kind of crazy the amount of people that are trying to build into their projects, which are essentially a bunch of JPEGs, right? They're trying to build into that a roadmap for where these are going to take you in the future as far as utilities they will provide. It's very convoluted and very strange. But essentially, the more utility that an NFT can provide, or the exclusivity that it can provide also, can justify like the higher price. Me, I'm very much a bargain sort of creator.
Utility beyond animation, that'd be like a self-spawning media.
Sure, something like that.
And what else? What else would be an example of?
Well, another example would be the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is another definite blue chip NFT right now. And so that grants the holder of the token, right, the purchaser, membership in a club where you'll get exclusive invites to parties in the real world. You'll get
super secret fan clubs.
Absolutely. Yeah, but don't forget, like, those blue chip NFTs sometimes can cost tens of thousands of dollars. So it's not just the artwork you're displaying. It's the club you're joining, you know?
Kind of like when you buy a fancy car.
Similar. You know how the Ferrari people always, like, give each other the nod as they pass each other, you know? Or the Jeep people do that too, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like that, yeah.
It's an NFT thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't get it. Well, I've seen on your Insta that you've done pretty well so far. How does that feel? Because you've put a few posts where you're like, whoa, it's all sold out. And it's like, well, hell yeah. You know, that's awesome.
Dude, it's a mind blower, man. So what's funny is that, again, like I said, I'm very much a bargain sort of person. So it's not in my mind to make like amazing amounts of money from my art. In fact, I'm struggling with pricing. But at the prices that I am selling them for, they disappeared as soon as they're minted a lot of times.
What price is that?
So that's anywhere from $1 to $10 each.
Oh, okay.
But one of the most beautiful things about NFTs is that, remember I was telling you about how the transaction history travels with the token for all time.
Yeah.
So part of the thing with Crypto.com's NFTs is that the creator gets a 10% cut of every single transaction that ever occurs involving that token. So if that token sells for a dollar, I get that first dollar, right? But then that person turns around and resells it on the market for $10, I get another dollar. Then the next guy sells it for $100, I get 10.
Yeah, you get a...
like a residual royalty.
Yeah, yeah, royalty. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So in my thought process in the beginning was to just blanket. Let's see what we can get into people's hands.
Because once you start pricing them, like, you're going beyond just dipping your toe into a thing, right? Yeah. Like, you're going into like business.
And you're assigning value. You know what I mean? That's a very difficult thing for me, especially as I've never really thought of myself as an artist. You know, I've always thought of myself as like an enthusiast. Mm. I guess now I have to consider myself kind of an artist. Yeah.
How many have you sold?
A lot.
Cool.
Like thousands. And so that's been super cool. And I have a lot of people who are collecting multiple pieces of mine. Right now, I think just the Crowbot collection alone has like 225 unique collectors.
Crowbot is those super science fiction robots. I'm looking at your Insta. Is this one of these?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. So that's the Crowbot. And so essentially there's kind of a little backstory I built about that, and that he lives on Planet Crow, which is the currency that Crypto.com uses. It's called a Crow.
Oh, okay. Right. That's smart.
So, yeah. So the Crowbot, right?
You're a marketer, sir.
Planet Crow, you know what I mean? And so everything I do ties into the general, you know, branding of Crypto.com.
What's been inspiring your images? Like, what inspires the stuff that you throw up there?
Oh, man.
Is it all robots, or do you do...
No.
I think I've seen you do flaming skulls or something like that.
Yeah, well, like mechanical, mechanized skulls. Mm-hmm. And then I do basically just a love for science fiction. I've always been like a Star Wars nerd. Mm-hmm. I do like Star Trek. I'm not a one or the other kind of guy. Just pretty much... just a love, you know, of space and stuff. I'm a big fan of Neil deGrasse Tyson and all of them.
Cool. Yeah, science fiction rocks.
Yeah.
How do you settle on what you'll release?
That's a really good question. So for as many pieces as I release, there are works in progress, I would say, because they're not garbage, but they're ones that I've deemed that just won't be released. They won't be part of a set. So, sometimes I'll spend, you know, 24 hours straight just working and working and working and trying to crank out as many ideas and products as possible. And then usually the next day, you know, I'll sleep on it and I'll look at them again, and I'll try to figure out which ones best represent.
Do all yours have animation, or do you do a mix of animations and PFPs?
Both, yeah. So okay. I do PFPs, I do the animation, and then I also do still frames that are taken from the scenes of the animations, but from a different angle, and they're usually unique. Whoa. Yeah. So,
jeez, man. And what a rabbit hole.
Yeah, also alternate angles. So a lot of the work that I do actually revolves around infinitely looping animations. So this would be like a hallway that never ends. Mm. So every 3 seconds it starts over, but you never see the seam. That's the trick.
I've seen that on your Instagram.
So, yeah. So that kind of thing. I love that. I love it so much, man, because I just find it like the longer you stare at something like that and you look at the little details, like it's just fascinating. So that's kind of one of the hallmarks of what I bring to the table. It's kind of my flagship, style, I think.
Well, I'm looking at your Instagram here, and one of your posts says first and second drops sold out.
Yeah
And it sees gnarly alien heads, and then I guess explosions.
Actually that's Crowbot version one. So what you're seeing is an upward angle to his head.
What, right? A segue into what you just said.
Yeah.
Man,
so the very first Crowbots were PFPs. And then I decided to go ahead and see if I could apply my secret sauce to the GIF magic, and that's how that started. So the The stuff with the alien heads, not so much. That really hasn't proven to be the most popular.
It seems like it's like it'd be it like common, like it's like an easy
kind of is, you
thing
know?
To do.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. But you'd be surprised at what sells. So, in the beginning there, I was just kind of trying to throw some stuff out, see what stuck, and then the strategy would have been to follow that down the rabbit hole as far as I can go.
It seems like it's like the easiest way for an artist to release, sell, and possibly have a royalty. Like, that's so futuristic. It can't be any easier, right? Like,
man, you know, you would think so. So that's why I love this crypto.com thing so much, mm-hmm. because, and I keep saying that, I'm sorry, this episode is not sponsored by crypto.com that I know of, but they provide the audience, they provide the platform, which is an innovation in the space, because up until then, there was OpenSea, and OpenSea is just what it sounds like. It's a repository for minting NFTs. However, it is as vast as the ocean, and therefore it is virtually impossible to get eyes on your work just on OpenSea. So you've got to take the links that feature your work, and you've got to advertise them on social media or advertise them, you know, through some other form or fashion.
So that's why you need these marketplaces,
right?
To like rate in.
Exactly. Yeah. And so once you figure out the sort of the rhythm of a marketplace like the one crypto.com has, I really think you can kind of go far.
It's also like folks are gathering stuff for when they or we all move into the metaverse.
I think that no one knows what the metaverse actually means. Web 3 is still this sort of strange and so it's kind of a strange concept that not everybody can nail down, but you know it when you see it. You know, what I will say is that I've seen a whole lot of NFTs that promise the world. And by promise the world, I mean a lot of them say that they will do A, B, and C in the metaverse and that you'll have all these benefits and all that. But the reality of the situation is that it doesn't exist yet. And so that being the case,
so it's kind of like a snake oil salesman type thing,
you know,
some flim-flam shit.
Yeah. But and they'll tag it onto their products so you'll pay more, you know what I mean? But there's a term in the crypto world called a rug pull, and so basically that's where you get a whole bunch of people to put a whole bunch of money into a project, and then you pull the rug and you run, you know what I mean, and leaving everybody else on their behinds. And so that does happen in the NFT space as well.
Could happen in the real world too.
It does all the time. Remember Bernie Madoff, man? I mean, yeah, right? That's a
scams everywhere, bro. I mean, well, there are some doubts as to the eventual value of NFTs in the future. What do you think about that? Because you're selling them like hotcakes.
You know, come what may, you know, I'll continue to do what I'm doing. I don't know about the speculation because, to be honest with you, like 5 years ago, I don't think that anyone could have ever imagined we'd be where we are scale wise, you know, in the marketplace of NFTs. So I don't know that. I think that this space is just too new to predict. And so any naysayers right now, man, you got to have a real compelling argument in order to convince me that these will be worthless in the future.
So would you consider them digital currency, though?
They absolutely can
be. Right?
Yes. There's a saying that some people use in the NFT space, and that is that you're not spending your money on NFTs. You're storing your money in NFTs, because a lot of them do retain value. Again, because of exclusivity, rarity, utility, they do retain
dynamic
value.
Utility, right?
Absolutely.
They're some, like you said, some are promising that they'll do other things later.
Yeah, right? And so it remains to be seen whether or not any of those promises really can be kept, though, in a lot of those projects.
There's also environmental concerns with NFTs due to the use of Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency that is said to guzzle power.
It's true, you know. It definitely is true because it requires a consensus of computers constantly running.
But isn't that how the internet works anyway?
You know,
like,
what
do you call it? Is it calling the kettle black or something? Like the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah. And then you have like Tesla cars and stuff, right? That run on electricity. that stuff comes from somewhere, man. There's probably like a coal fire generating electricity someplace, man, you know. But there's all kinds of other digital cryptocurrencies that are trying to make it mainstream. And then, of course, with Ethereum 2.0 right around the corner, that's a very promising and exciting thing, too, because it's supposed to use much less power, be much much more efficient.
You know, when I look up videos about NFTs in my research, I've just seen in comments that folks just plain don't like them.
And so back to the beginning of the conversation, that's kind of what I meant with the pretentiousness of the title of NFT artist. It happens to be true, but believe me, that's probably not the first thing on my business card, because it is kind of a polarizing idea, because a lot of people think that it's causing people to just throw away their money, you know, because they don't see the difference between right-click save and the purchase of a certificate of authenticity for a piece of digital art.
It's creating the vernacular too, and for people to understand it, right?
Like, sure, yeah.
Because I think that's kind of what we're doing right here in this podcast. We're trying to explain it as much as we can.
Yeah, as much as possible. Yeah, yeah. In as easy and consumable way as possible. Yeah, definitely.
I feel like NFTs are just a way to make an artist independent more easily.
100%. Absolutely.
Because you don't got anybody behind your back saying, no, Chris, that's not a cool alien head.
Yeah.
Or that's not a cool crowbot. Like, let's,
Maybe there's some drawbacks to that, though. Because you know what? Maybe I put out maybe a couple of stinkers. Maybe you do need a second head. I don't know. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's much less, there's a whole lot fewer middlemen between you and your customers.
This is like the easiest way to do it for artists.
Well, okay, but that's a relative term though, right? Because there's a whole lot of artists who aren't as well-versed in the digital aspect of it, right? Or translating their particular kind of art into digital. I heard a Twitter space the other night talking about how the art world really needs an agency that can somehow facilitate the transition from real world media to NFT media,
and that could be
the majority of artists. And well, it's going to be somebody. It's going to be somebody. Man. You know what I mean? To call me an agent would be no, I don't think so. I don't know, man.
In 5 years, Chris Bone, NFT agent.
I guess we'll have to see, man. But
yeah, because you know you don't know with this new tech, right? Like you just don't know. It's just a whole new. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
This stuff. We're almost done here, but some recent news bits about NFTs. Tom Brady recently got into the NFT startup game, and he recently got funded $170 million for his NFT startup. That's insane. That's an insane.
They're going to need artists, man.
Yeah. Hopefully that $170 million goes to some artists.
Oh, yeah, man.
An Indonesian college student accidentally became a millionaire by putting up his selfies as NFTs as a joke. And he just got a bunch of cash overnight.
Couldn't, yeah. Oh my gosh.
I mean, imagine all the goofy ass selfies that we all have. Like the
right? Yeah.
He capitalized, man.
So maybe, you know, your dog pictures do have value, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last one, the Dune NFT copyright fiasco. Have you heard of that?
No, man. Are like Dune, like the movie Dune?
Like Frank Herbert? Book, like the book Dune? Okay. Dune.
Yeah.
Somehow a NFT copy of a Dune book was sold for a whole bunch of money. And then the people that bought it thought that they owned the rights to Dune.
Again,
that's as simply as I could like paint it to you.
So you know? Again, here we go with the ownership issues and the quagmire of brand new technology that it's presenting to us. So
some people just have too much money.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. But as far as rights to ownership are concerned, so an NFT purchased by a customer does not implicitly give the right to display or to the intellectual property that's behind that image. It simply gives them the right over that copy of that image, you know.
Right.
And the freedom to share it
of
on
that
social
work.
Media. Of that work, right. Yeah.
So these bozos thought they owned Dune.
Man, can you imagine, dude? Oh my God. What a letdown, right? What do you mean? What do you mean I don't own Dune, man? I just spent $30 million on a token.
I read a comment saying like it's like buying a Christmas card and saying that you own Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like man. What? Like,
it doesn't really compute, man.
But yeah, like you said, it does bring the concept of ownership into a new, weird, strange territory. But like, people need to be a little bit more, I guess, conscious about what they're purchasing.
Yeah, and that's typical with like just any new investment sort of strategy or routine. Best thing I can recommend is before you invest in anything ever. First of all, never invest any money that you can't afford to lose. And the second thing is do your research. And part of that in the NFT space involves Twitter. Look, if anybody's trying to give out any free Ethereum, it's a scam. They want your wallet address. There's a whole lot of scams out there because this is just such a new space and it's unregulated. In comparison to like, you know, stock trades and stuff like that.
Yeah, you mentioned wallet address. Yeah, you need a digital wallet to buy these
correct NFTs. Essentially, this is a like a custodial wallet or a non-custodial wallet. There's lots of different kinds.
Okay.
But it's basically a program on your phone that's encrypted that facilitates your possession of digital assets.
So you put cryptocurrencies into your crypto wallet.
Correct. Or yeah, your digital wallet. To buy
your cool ass NFT.
Boom, there you go. That's how it's only 17 steps.
So what's your NFT plan for the new year? What goal have you set?
So
you're trying to get curated.
I am trying to get curated. Just recently on my Twitter, I started a contest to get to 500 follows. Basically, I just started the Twitter, this new Twitter, at the end of December. So it hasn't been very long at all. And I feel like it's been very organic. I'm having like back and forth with a lot of people. If you follow me on Twitter, you definitely have an opportunity to win free NFTs almost all the time.
Cool.
And then I have giveaways for the mailing list on my website. So you got lots of chances and opportunities to get some free stuff.
So you're just going to expand for this year. That's what you're trying to do. Expand your presence.
Yeah, absolutely. I have my own little goals and stuff. But those are sort of personal. But in the beginning, I said, you know, it'd be amazing if I could make enough to make the house payment. You know, because that's the biggest expense any of us really have in our lives, man, is housing.
Yep.
You know, and if you can cover that with your art, all of a sudden, that's a big deal. You know,
that's a very big deal.
So I passed that threshold, and now I'm looking for new ground to cover.
That's awesome. Congrats, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Where can folks buy your NFT art?
So they can find me at crypto.com/NFT. What you'll do is go to the search bar there that's at the top of the marketplace and type in Disintegrator. You have to turn off the curated tab, which is right underneath the search bar there.
Okay.
By default, part of their system, you know, shows you all the stuff that they support. They put their money behind. But if you turn that off, you'd be surprised at the crazy stuff you can come across. There's a whole lot of talented people there. And I definitely recommend you just have a look. There's a bunch of cool stuff. There's a whole lot of people at various levels of expertise contributing to this this thing that we call the crypto.com NFT marketplace.
Well, you are aware that El Paso has a NFT gallery. It's called the Cryptic NFT Art Gallery. And it's located in downtown by Segundo Barrio.
Let me see.
I'm looking up their Insta. They're on 409 South Kansas. Were you aware of these guys?
You know, until the other day, I had not been aware of them. As a matter of fact, me and the only other person I know in my small circle that does NFTs, we were talking about, well, we need to try and organize, you know, like a show or something where we can, you know, set up some TVs and show some of the animations and all that, like have a gallery showing. And he's like, hey, man, you know about this place downtown, right? No, I don't.
You're like, what?
Mind blown, dude. Oh my gosh, man. And what a cool thing, man. And I saw that their art changes daily.
Mm-hmm. We already interviewed them and the guy's very cool. It's a very cool spot. You also mentioned that you do video work.
I do.
And that you have a YouTube channel.
I do, yeah. So on YouTube, I am Disintegrator Films, and there you can find, I do lyric videos for bands across the Southwest. I do music videos for bands here.
Yeah, I've seen some of those. Cool.
Yep. And yeah, I do tutorials. So if you're ever in the market, you want to learn how to use After Effects, you want to make cool robot videos like I do, I teach you how to do it for free on YouTube. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sharing that knowledge. That. And social media?
Social media. So on Instagram, I'm disintegrator_films. And on Twitter, you can just find me at Disintegrator Films there. And I recommend that you follow, get yourself some free NFTs. People think that those giveaways are a scam. And I got evidence to the contrary. We post up the photos of the winners with their, smiling really faces.
Not a scam.
Yeah, not a scam. Definitely not a scam. It's free stuff.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Thank you so much for inviting me to come by and talk about this. Yeah, it's been delightful to kind of have a listening ear on the other side of some of these ideas.
Well, you're on the cutting edge, man. You're one of a handful of people in El Paso. We don't even know how many people are in El Paso are doing this.
I really don't. Right? And I really hope that there's not like a gang load of them and I'm just unaware of them. And they're going to be like, now we know about this dude.
Or you're going to start your game.
Here we go.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for the invite, man.